Okay, welcome to Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee General Government. Today is April the 20th, 2017. And today we will have a public hearing on SB 5536, Secretary of State. Now, I am under the impression that my House colleagues and stuff have a very important engagement. So that means that this is going to be a very limited discussion today. I do appreciate how you scheduled this for today. I know you did this intentionally. But I'm not going to hold it against you. So, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. So, that's correct. So, just so the public knows, the House is in session right now. And so, House members are going to return back to the floor. If it's all right, Mr. Co-Chair, I'm going to stay here so I can join you and represent the House side of this. And then I'll check in with members later on.
Thank you very much, both chairs, for your courtesy. And, yeah, we have to go up to the back up to the floor. And there are votes underway as we speak. Thank you.
Thank you, colleagues. And I know that you're in big demand, and, you know, only thing I say, have fun. Mr. Co-Chair, are you sure that you can kind of squeeze by? I know your vote is really important.
It is safer down here than on the House floor, so I shall stay here.
Okay, well, let's get started here a little bit since we won't be taking any votes today due to no quorum and stuff. So, Steve, can you give us an update?
Thank you. Certainly, Mr. Co-Chair. Secretary of State is back today for phase two of their budget hearings. We only have them scheduled for one day to talk about a limited set of some of the budget requests that they're bringing forward to you. These perhaps not coincidentally or not uncoincidentally, are from the divisions of the agency whose budgets have the most direct impact on general fund, those being the Elections Division and the Corporation Division. You may recall it's been some time since you had phase one for this of this agency's presentation, but there were a number of Elections Division's requests primarily relating to support of IT systems. And the Secretary of State is prepared to provide additional information on those requests and what they do and why they're needed. Similarly, there were a number of requests that the Corporation Division had asked relating to actual expansion of their activities and the need for additional resources to address those potential expansions. And the Secretary of State will be speaking and updating you on the status of those as well.
Okay. Mr. Co-Chair, anything to add before we get started?
No, sir.
Okay. Senator DeBoer?
No, I'm good.
Okay, so where's my – here we go. Okay, well, I guess we'll get started with that. And we have Mr. Bender. Mr. Secretary of State, welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
And I'm not quite sure on how you want to do this. We'll have you kick it off, and then we'll bring your staff on following you, sir.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you. Mr. Co-Chairs, Senator DeBoer, it's good to be with you today as we discuss this important funding for the Secretary of State's office. Senator?
Mr. Secretary.
I'd like to begin with Package 101. It's a staffing of IT for the Elections Division, and it's a general fund request of $715,223, and it's for a program manager and for two Java developers. And so basically we have two limited duration positions of experts that speak that language of Java, and they have been helping us the last 2 years to ensure that we have the ability to deal with modules that
Mr. Secretary, for the record, please state your name.
Oh, you know what? I forgot again. Mr. Co-Chairs, Senators, Mr. Bender, I'm Dennis Richardson, Oregon Secretary of State.
Thank you.
Today, we would like to begin this discussion with Package 101, which is IT support for the Elections Division. It consists of two limited duration Java developer programmers who are currently working and they need to become full-time permanent staffers, and then a request also for a program manager. The limited duration employees have been vitally important over the last 2 years to help ensure that 6 out of 8 modules that promote the elections division and keeping everything accurate and timely are being able to be maintained and supported in-house. There were 2 additional modules that have been allowed to go out because they could be done more effectively and more economically by outside vendors. And so the 2 Java developers, we're requesting that they become permanent because it's needed for them to make sure that we have the ongoing development, the maintenance, and and sustaining of the capabilities that they're currently doing. The program manager is needed to help ensure that not just these modules, but to coordinate ORSTAR, which is the Oregon Election Systems for Tracking and Reporting, and OCVR, which is the Oregon Centralized Voters Registration, as well as Motor Voter, that they all are able to function and coordinate together so that we're all heading in the right direction. And so that is the basis for this request. Any questions about this one? Okay. We would like to now go into elections and talk about a request. Oh, excuse me.
I guess I do want to go back, Mr. Secretary, just to the last slide. You said, sorry about that. Any questions? I guess what I'm trying to figure out is what happens if they aren't funded? What's plan B? Is there a plan B? How detrimental is this if they were not to be funded?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairs. Senator Johnson. These requests were made by the previous Secretary of State, and I have great confidence that she knew what she was asking for. As far as what would happen, we will make do, but we don't have the capacity to do everything. And so we'll have to go back and say, what can we do without, and where can we economize? But the Elections Division is so important that we just feel like you can't economize in an area where people are counting on everything to be accurate, on time, and you know, totally transparent and honest. And so if there was a way around it, I'd be trying to economize myself. But I'm told by those that understand Java, and I don't speak that language, that this is absolutely necessary.
Thank you.
If we could now go to the... to the Elections Division, and let's ask Director Trout if he would come and join us, if that'd be okay.
Good afternoon, co-chairs, members of the committee, Steve Trout, State Election Director, and I'm here to respond and answer questions on package 104, which is integration of ORSTAR, which Secretary Richardson described as the Oregon Election System for Tracking and Reporting. That's one of our 2 main systems within the Elections Division, and OCVR, the Central Voter Registration Database. And so we really have 2 major systems at work in elections, and this package is to come and to integrate them. So, for example, most of you probably file for office online. Whether you go into, then that would be through ORSTAR. You'll enter your information in ORSTAR, and then that information will come to our office. If you decide to fill out by paper, same thing. That information comes to us. Now, currently, we have to take that information out of ORSTAR where you all entered it, and then we have to manually enter it into OCVR so that the counties can then access that information to create the ballots, to create all of the election information that gets printed. And so obviously there's a potential for error, for mistyping in that manual entry from one system to the other. And hence, that's why we want to come forward with this package to be able to integrate these to make it one unified system. And this would be a one-time fix. If we were able to go through this process, we would be able to have it so that what was entered into ORSTAR would be able to talk and translate into OCVR and vice versa. And so that's the reason and the necessity for this package.
Okay, can I ask a quick question then? This seems to me that this was part of the associated with the HAVA funds that would get this done. I think we had a conversation around how the integration of that funds would that be better suited for this particular fund instead of the $300,000. The reason why I'm asking is that we just got a forecast, and this forecast that we got is devastating. It's cutting seniors, people with disabilities and stuff. And as critical as the electoral process is for our state and for our country, I want to make sure that we are maximizing every possible what-ifs, you know, associated with that, because we're looking at right now also Department of Revenue, and some of the things that they have in their proposals and stuff are very interesting, to say the least. And I keep going back to this document that I just got from our co-chairs that's showing massive cuts and stuff in social programs. And if we have HAVA dollars that were designed for electoral processes, getting them up and running, would that those dollars not be best suited for that instead of using general funds?
So, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, for the question. So, we talked about this a little bit in our first meeting about the maintenance of effort and the requirements for the use of the HAVA funds. Clearly, HAVA funds can be used for OCVR and anything connected there. And so, I think we're in a little bit of a gray area here because we're talking about partly OCVR and partly Orastar. Clearly, HAVA funds can be used for OCVR. Whether they can be used for Orastar or not, I'm not confident that that's the case. We can, you know, we can definitely look into that. I don't think that's a black and white decision.
Could we please, because I'm thinking that, you know, the intent is to improve the electoral process, and all of it integrates into one. You know, if you are manually taking from your system Orastar, and putting into the other process and stuff, there is a direct connectivity there, you know, to get the desired output that we're looking for. So that's the reason why I asked that, because, you know, again, we're in a really bad place and stuff, you know, and I know everybody wants to try to do what's best by all Oregonians and stuff, and if there's a way to do this, then I would like to see, you know, find out if that's possible and if we can get that done like that.
Mr. Co-Chair, absolutely, and I think, you know, the only part that causes, or the part that causes me concern is we've talked about the candidate process going forward. It also works in the other direction for campaign finance situations, and so that's the part that I'm not sure that we would be able to pass muster from the Election Assistance Commission, but we'll look into that and report back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, with the Corporations Division, Mr. Co-Chairs and members of the committee, we invite Peter Thurlkill to come up from the Corporations Division.
Good afternoon, Co-Chairs Manning, Co-Chair Smith, Senators, and Mr. Bender. My name is Peter Threlkill. I'm the Director of the Corporation Division and the Office of Small Business Assistance. As you know, the Corporation Division is the first stop for doing business in Oregon, and we also manage the Office of Small Business Assistance to help business cut through red tape that they encounter with government. We wanted to give a brief update on our policy packages 112, 113, and 114. These were associated with three bills that the former secretary had put forward to help address the abusive shell company formation in the state of Oregon. There's actually the bills did not get a hearing or work session, so they're now stuck in committee. With that, we would withdraw these three packages from the budget request. I'll speak in a minute about an alternative legislation, House Bill 2191A, which has made its way to the Ways and Means Committee, and you'll probably be hearing it in the coming weeks. But that will be a, we think, a better, less intrusive, less invasive lower cost solution that gets to a lot of the same issues without requiring 11 FTE and $1.9 million increase in our budget. We want to talk a little bit about the projections for the packages. As I mentioned, the first three really are moot at this point because they're no longer necessary. Package 115, this was to provide additional funding, would change the revenue share between the Secretary of State and the general fund for the business registration fees. We had originally proposed moving from $20 to $25 without those other three packages needing to be funded. We feel that we could reduce that down to $22. So the dollar amounts that would come to the Secretary of State and reduce the general fund are quite a bit smaller next biennium and over the following two biennium. So House Bill 2191A was really a collaborative effort. The House Committee on Business and Labor, the Department of Justice, we had the Secretary of State, we had members of the business community that came together to and the Oregon State Bar to kind of hash out a better version that we think would help to address the underlying issue of abusive shell companies. There's a fiscal impact that will come with that bill. It would be a one FTE for a compliance specialist position because the Secretary of State would need to take on more of a compliance role. Right now, we're a ministerial role. We would be doing some investigations of companies, asking them for ownership documents and irregularities in their business registration filings. We would also gain authority to dissolve companies that were non-responsive. The Department of Revenue would have a dissolution process for companies that failed to file their taxes or comply with tax law. In the state of Oregon, that would give them a better tool, we think, to help enforce tax law. They would also be able to recommend a dissolution of a company. The Department of Justice would have some additional authorities as they were to chase down bad actors. So overall, the cost is a lot lower. It'd be one position, $157,000 next biennium, We think that's a better approach than the combined other three bills. To get there, we have policy package 115. As I mentioned before, currently the first $20 of every business registration fee goes to the Secretary of State to support and maintain our programs, our application systems, pay our staff salaries, and allow us to do our work. We'd put in for the $25. We'll reduce that down to $22, we think that would be sufficient to help get us through the next biennium or so. Out of the fees that are paid since 2004, we've transferred over $300 million to the state general fund. These are fees that are paid by the business community, so they're paying in a lot of money. One of the things that we think is a fair trade-off is that the business community should be able to expect fast and efficient and effective service from the Secretary of State's office when they're interacting with us, and we think that that's a part of what that money pays for.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator?
How much money did you just say?
Co-chairs, Senator Johnson, $300 million since 2004. So a third of $1 billion almost.
I just wanted to make sure I hadn't misheard you.
General fund.
Going to the general fund.
It's over 12 years. It's still a lot of money.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we really had three slides here that just talked about, what we've done. We've, over the last 20 years, we've reduced our staff by 10. And if you want to actually go to the next slide, we'll wrap up one more. This slide shows what the division has done over the last 12 biennia. We were at 62 FTE, and we've reduced that down to 35 FTE. At the same time, we've more than doubled the efficiency of our staff. So I really feel that we've done a lot to get to be about as lean as we possibly can. Our budget is based primarily, about two-thirds of it is staffing. So as we look at cuts that we might have to take, they'll have to come out of primarily out of our staffing, and that impacts our ability to process our customers' documents, do that timely, and serve them well. Those are the impacts that will have delays in filing, delays in being able to collect the money that comes with those filings, and as we discussed, most of that goes to the general fund. So, you know, we would hate to see that happen. We think we provide good service and fair value for our business customers. We value them. We think that you know, they're the drivers of our economy, and we think that they deserve to be treated respectfully and get good service. So we've appreciated the investments that this committee and the legislature has made in the past, and the support that you've provided, because it's not just to us, it is to the business community.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair.
Yeah, I actually want to echo what you're sharing. Both now and in the past, I can share with you folks who work directly with the corporate division would give you folks just a huge thumbs up, Mr. Secretary. You guys have done a great job. And so I think this is one of those items we've got to watch very carefully. The last thing we want to do, both here and in the elections division, or take steps that take us backwards when you folks are doing such great work today and in the past.
Thank you. Mr. Co-Chairs and Senators, I'd like to kind of conclude by just reminding you that, or letting you know that each of the divisions could show a graph like this, that you have less people, they've been leaning for years, and I can't, of course, have anything other than to congratulate those that have come before me and the professionalism of our staffs, because they have reduced the number of personnel while increasing the reliance on high-quality technology. And it's allowed us to do the things that we're doing in such a professional way. There's a challenge in that in any attempt to do across-the-board cuts, because some agencies can't say this. And the old idea that no good deed goes unpunished can apply if an agency has really worked at becoming more and more efficient. And then to, you know, have to look at major cuts when other agencies may be continuing to grow and you wonder just how efficient they are. I can't speak to any of that, but I've been very impressed with the professionalism and the work that's gone on in past years to enable the Secretary of State's office to function at such a high level of professionalism and with a limited number of people. I would just finalize with a reminder that we are asking for two more IT positions because of security. Very concerned about the hacking, the attempts that are being made in our agencies. And I've been asking my audits division and the IT division to come up with a way, assuming that we can get those two additional IT personnel, to include in every audit a security review to ensure that agencies and commissions and boards and districts are doing the minimums, the things that are necessary to maintain security, since security in our state really is like a chain, and one weak link would allow a hacker to get in and then could travel in and just do havoc to our state, the records, and to the privacy of our people. Thank you. Thank
you. Any questions from the committee or the committee that we have left? See no further questions. Ms. Secretary, thank you so much, and thank you for, you know, the work that you're doing to help improve our systems and stuff, you know, and your staff as well. You know, I think that there are, you know, you're doing, moving in the right direction, and your staff is doing a lot of things. And it's unfortunate that we're at a point now where we're in this kind of fiscal dilemma. And, you know, it's from my perspective, I'm counting beans and stuff. You know, I'm very fearful of some of the major cuts and stuff that we're facing right now, and how that's going to impact, Oregonians that really can't afford any cuts, similar to a lot of operations. And we have to make sure that your office and stuff is up and running and doesn't lose any capacity to continue to perform at as high level as it is right now. So I do appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you.
Okay. There's nothing else, no further business. Thank you, sir.
We're adjourned.
Thank you.
No further business. Steve?
Mr. Co-Chair, I just want to note that the committee will not be meeting on Monday. Your next meeting is on Tuesday for testimony on the Office of the Chief Information Officer in DAS.
Okay. Michael, anything?
No, Senator.
All right. Well, if there is no further business, I guess this committee will adjourn, and we will reconvene on Tuesday at 1500 hours. It's 3:00 civilian time. We are adjourned.
So what do we do with these requests?
Civilian time. We are adjourned.